Happy Easter from the Silver Lake Baptist Church in Belleville, New Jersey. A different type of Easter than we've ever had before. But because of the Lord and because of the opportunity to be able to communicate this way, we who are believers are still able to worship the risen, resurrected Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And for those who may not know him, we are here also to be able to give out truth. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth and said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, the third day rise again. And he remembered his words, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, stooping down, and beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering himself at that which is to come to pass. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless now thy word. Bless this grand occasion, this time of great remembrance of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, rising from the dead. Bless now thy word, and may it accomplish your purpose. In Christ's name we pray, amen. There is nothing like Easter Sunday. Christianity is in very essence a resurrection religion. Dr. John Stott said this, the concept of the resurrection lies at the heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed. The resurrection affirms that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. The very fact of the resurrection of Jesus declares clearly that he is the Son of the living God, that he is God in human flesh, and death could not hold him. The resurrection proves something else, that his sacrifice for sin was accepted. The work of salvation is now complete. The resurrection declares that he is the judge and will judge the world. This should not surprise us that Satan attacks the truth of the resurrection from every angle. Such ridiculous reasoning is that the disciples stole the body. That is absolutely impossible. The tomb was guarded by Roman soldiers. It was impossible to overcome these soldiers by frightened disciples. And the Roman seal was put upon the tomb, meaning that all the authority of the Roman emperor and Rome itself was protecting that tomb. Another ridiculous reason that they use is that Jesus did not die, he only swooned. What it means is that when they took Jesus' body down, he never was really dead. But when they put him in the cool dampness of the tomb, then he revived and he was able to be alive and be able to come out of the tomb. Well, understand with me that when Jesus died, the soldiers came and took the other two thieves and broke their legs, therefore hurrying them to death. But when they came to Jesus, he was dead already. And the soldier took the spear and pierced his heart, and blood and water came out, meaning that he was dead. The resurrection is the stone which Christianity stands by, because he is the Son of God who is crucified and died and rose again. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the stone that Christianity rests upon. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and on the third day rose again from the dead. Now let us go back to that first Easter, 2,000 years ago. And what I want to speak to you this morning, on this Easter Sunday morning, is the sights and sounds of Easter. The sights and sounds of Easter. Number one, what did they see? It says in verse 1 of chapter 24, "And upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bringing spices which they prepared, and certain others with them." The women who loved Jesus came to the tomb very early in the morning to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. You see, after Jesus died on the cross, he was hurriedly buried because of the Sabbath was coming on, and he was not fully anointed with spices for to preserve the body. The worry that the women had very early in the morning when they went to that tomb was, who's going to move away the stone? The stone weighed over 2,000 pounds. And who would move this stone for them to anoint the body? But what did they see when they got to the tomb? Number one, they saw that the stone was rolled away. In Luke chapter 24, verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. The question is, who moved the stone? Well, the answer is in Matthew 28, verse 2. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." We understand right here that the 2,000-pound stone was rolled back by an angel, not to let Jesus Christ out, but the stone was rolled away for all could look inside and see that the body of the Lord Jesus wasn't there. The power of Rome and the power of the emperor could not keep that stone in place. The angel of the Lord moved that stone to show everyone when they looked in that the burial or the sepulcher or the tomb was empty. There's something else that they saw. They saw that the tomb was empty, and it says in verse 3, "And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." Of course the tomb was empty. Death could not hold its prey. Death could not hold the Prince of Life. The tomb is only for the dead. It's not for the living. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." Jesus said, "I was dead, but now I'm alive. And I hold in my hands the keys of hell and death." Hell claims the soul, and death claims the body. And Jesus has this. When Jesus went to the funeral, or I should say the site of the burial of Lazarus, one of his disciples, who was dead now 4 days in the grave. And when he approached the town of Bethany, when he came to that town, Martha came up to him and said, "Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." You see, there's no fear of death when you have everlasting life. Death means nothing when you have everlasting life. And there's no fear of the grave when you have a resurrection. So we find out here that they saw that the tomb was empty. The stone was moved aside by the angel. And then they saw two other angels. It says here in verse 4, "It came to pass that they were much perplexed." The word perplexed means at wit's end. They didn't know what to expect. "Thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." Angels by the tomb were inviting the women to look inside at the empty tomb. The angels were nothing more than messengers. "But I call to all who look inside that tomb, look and see what Peter saw." The Bible teaches in John chapter 20, verses 6 and 7, the account from John's account. It says this, "Then came Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and see if the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was upon his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together and placed by themselves." So when they looked inside, they found no body. The clothes that were wrapped around, or the linen clothes that were wrapped around the body of Jesus, were on the side, and the napkin, the cloth that was over Jesus' face, was folded very neatly and placed aside. That should put to bunk the theory that someone stole the body. If someone was going to steal something, they weren't going to take the time to fold up the napkin or fold up the clothes and put it on the side. So we find out right over here that the Lord Jesus Christ was no longer in the tomb because he rose again from the dead earlier, and the angels were there showing everybody and telling everybody to look inside. Now that is what they saw. But what did they hear? There was an angel's question. In Luke chapter 24, verse 5, a question. "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth,
They said to them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why? No one goes to a cemetery to seek the living. Nobody does. Only dead bodies are in the cemetery. No one goes to see the living, but the dead." That's exactly what the angel was saying. And the angels made this great pronouncement, this great pronouncement that can be shouted from the housetops, that in verse 6 it says, "He is not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." He's not here, he's risen. Jesus is alive. The living is not among the dead. He's risen. What beautiful words these words are. Christian, your God, Jesus Christ, is alive. And if he's alive, live like he's alive. Jesus is alive. And if he's alive, serve him. Serve God because he's alive. And because he's alive, let your faith soul shine in that way. You know, Jesus, when he was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, the word of God says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill shall not be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they may give light unto all those that are in the house. Let your light so shine among men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus is alive. The angels pronounced it. And now the women that were looking inside and seeing and then hearing, and then Peter and John came and they witnessed all these things. This is the announcement of the gospel to all the world. What do they need to remember? In Luke chapter 24, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says here, "He's not here, but's risen. Remember he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again." Jesus told his disciples on several occasions what was going to happen. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and he said he would be betrayed. Was he betrayed? He was. He told them that he would be crucified. And was he crucified? He was. And he said, "On the third day, I will rise again." And did he rise again from the dead? And that is true. Now understand with me the gospel. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for my sins, according to the scriptures, according to God's word, God's perfect lamb, had to offer a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins." The prophet Isaiah said so very clearly, Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are all healed." The Bible teaches that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. We understand from the word of God that sin had to be paid for. The killing of animals in the Old Testament was only to cover sin, but it was never to take away sin. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, he was offered up as a sacrifice unto his Father for the sins of the world. John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world." There's only one thing that they wash away sin. That is the blood of Jesus. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible teaches in the book of Revelation 1:5, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead." And the Bible teaches here that he is the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, "unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood." Only the blood of the perfect Lamb of God could wash away our sins. John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us and washes away all sin." The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, "Almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." So Jesus Christ loved us so much that he offers himself as a sacrifice for my sin and your sin. And if you want to know your sins are forgiven, you have to come to the cross of Jesus. You have to come to that cross where the blood was shed and to that grave that was opened. And now he's alive forevermore. Understand, and they needed to remember something. It said in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 8, and they remembered his words. This is what the gospel is all about. The gospel is not about religion. The gospel is not baptism. The gospel is not about communion. The gospel is about none of those things. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And with his blood, sins are washed away when one places their faith in the Son of God. Lastly, what did they do? This group of women that saw this wonderful sight, heard these wonderful words of the angel, the Bible says in the book of Luke 24, verse 9, and they returned from the sepulcher, and they told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. They told others. Could you just imagine the excitement that they had when they left that tomb? There was a feeling of great enthusiasm, a great eagerness. Jesus is alive. He's not among the dead. Now, have we lost our excitement for the living Son of God? Christian, have you lost that excitement that you had long ago when you first received Jesus? The Prince of Life is alive, and we are entrusted to give out that message. I want you to notice before Jesus ascended up to heaven what he told his disciples to do. He said in verse 46, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, beginning in Jerusalem, and then unto all nations. As we conclude this sermon, do you have eternal life? Has your sins been washed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you done that? Do you know for sure if you died tonight, you would go to heaven? The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 16, both he and his fellow worker in the gospel, Silas, were arrested for preaching the gospel and thrown into prison and beaten. And at midnight, they were singing and praying and praising God. And they were in chains and stocks. And all of a sudden, at a little bit after midnight, a tremendous earthquake shook. And it shook the whole prison. And the doors of all the prison cells were open. The chains and the stocks were broken and fell to the ground. And then, of course, the jailer came in, realizing that if one of the prisoners escaped, he would lose his life. And when he was about to take his own life, he came in with a lantern. And he came in. And when he came in, he went to the Apostle Paul and to Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they answered and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The only way to have your sin forgiven, the only way to have peace with God, the only way to have a home in heaven and have a relationship with God is to place your faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have not done that, you need to do that today. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto his disciples and said unto Thomas, Thomas said, if you go, how can we know the way? And Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, thank God. But he came into the world to save. He came to the world to save sinners like me. He came to save sinners like you. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, make this day, this Easter, this unusual Easter that we have never had one like this, that this Easter you would trust Christ to be your Savior and know that you have everlasting life. If you're a Christian, I ask you now, have you lost your excitement? Have you lost your zeal for the risen Savior? We do not serve a dead God. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. There was no body in there. Of all the religions of the world, you can find the bodies of the ones that started their religions, but not this one. And the reason why, because he is alive. When you pray, you're praying to a living God who was dead and now is alive again. Have you lost your excitement? You know, the Bible teaches in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible teaches you need to live for him, because when death comes, Death is not like what it comes to an unsaved person. We have an eternal home in heaven. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 2, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." We have a home in heaven. We have a living Savior. And the Bible teaches in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, writing to a church 2,000 years ago in Colossae, he said this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God." It is an amazing thing that right now in heaven, seated on the throne of God, is a man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And it says, "Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth." Don't get tied up with all the things of this world and all the confusion and all the noise and all the distractions of this life. We are here to live for our Savior. And it says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." The Apostle Paul was talking here about us, that make sure that your affections, your heart, is towards the things of God. And don't keep your eyes simply on the things of this world all the time, but realize that the Son of God is coming back again. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says, "For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The Bible clearly teaches here that Christ now lives inside of us. The risen Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, lives inside of the hearts of every born-again believer. And Paul said, we don't live for ourselves. We live for the one who died on the cross and came inside our hearts and lives for us forever and ever. So if you have never received Christ, I implore you to receive Jesus as your Savior. You say, "Pastor, what do I need to do?" You need to acknowledge you're a sinner. You need to acknowledge your sin before God. And the second thing, you need to acknowledge that Jesus is the living Son of God who died on the cross for you, and that he shed his blood for your sins. He made sacrifice for your sins. And if you have done that, all you need to do is pray and receive Christ in your heart and repent. You can pray a prayer such as this. "Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I acknowledge my sin before you. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is your Son, and he died as a sacrifice for my sin. I now repent of my sin, and I invite him into my heart and into my life to give me eternal life. And I begin and desire today to start living for him and serving him for the rest of my life." If you prayed that prayer, Christ came inside of your heart. He lives inside of you now, and he will give you and has given you now everlasting life that you would live forever and ever. Christian, let me ask you now, if you're saved, you need to get back your excitement for Jesus again. You need to get back to your excitement to Jesus. That love you used to have, you need to get that back. You say, "Pastor, how?" The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible teaches if you confess and turn to God and just confess your sin, God will forgive you. You can never lose everlasting life, but you can lose your joy of everlasting life, the joy of being a follower of the Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have not done that, you need to do that today. You need to pray a prayer like this. "My Heavenly Father, I know you, and I know your Son as Savior. I've gotten off track. I let the things of life in this world distract me. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And Lord, restore me again. Give me that light and fire in my heart, because Jesus is alive. Lord, I love you, and I want to be faithfully serving you until the time we meet in the clouds or in heaven itself. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for being buried for me. Thank you for rising from the dead for me. Help me now, my Lord. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have prayed that prayer as a Christian, I encourage you to read your word, the Word of God, every day. Pray every day. And when you feel your heart is growing a little bit cold and not where it should be, get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you and ask Him to restore you the joy of your salvation. If you ask Christ inside your heart, we're here at the Silver Lake Baptist Church to help you to grow in your faith. We're praying that this crisis, this virus, and this what's taking place in our country will end soon, and then we can meet together. But if you have received Christ, if you would let us know through our website or even the phone call at the church, we'd be delighted to speak with you and give you some things to help you to start growing in your faith. Let me just give you a few announcements, and then we have a closing song. Next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on the rapture. We're getting closer and closer and closer for the Lord Jesus to return. I have spoken to missionaries. I've also spoken to pastors in the last month. And every one of them, together with me, we're just headed towards the rapture. That's where we're all headed to. And we're thankful for it. Wednesday night, there will be a Bible study. The last 2 weeks, we spoke about the Antichrist. This Wednesday night, I'm going to talk about the one who works with him, and that is the false prophet. That will be at 7:30, and there will be prayer time. Pray for your unsaved family members. Christians, you hear me now? Give this information out to your friends and family that don't know the Lord. Give them the information about 11 o'clock on Sunday. These messages are going to be preached from the Bible that will speak to their hearts and souls. Give out the message, okay? And keep praying for our members in our church that are healthcare workers, that are working in hospitals, nursing homes. Pray for them, okay? Pray that God will keep us healthy, okay? And keep and watch over us. The couples retreat has been rescheduled. And when this is over with, we'll give a date. We're going to change some things there, things that I think you would like. Tithes and offerings. If you would like to support this church, if you're not saved or you're not a member, you can. And of course, the members, if you can mail your tithes and offerings to the Silver Lake Baptist Church at 166 Franklin Street in Belleville, or you can go to the church website, areyoucertain.com, and there's a link there that you can donate online. Okay? So also one more thing, the Sunday sermon is also in Spanish. But it's not being posted yet, okay? It'll probably be posted later in the day, or if not, by tomorrow. So give this message out to your friends and relatives that may be Spanish and doesn't understand English too well. Okay, that's all the message for the Word of God this morning. That's our faith. He's alive, amen? Okay, we're going to be dismissed in prayer, and we wish you a great, wonderful Easter. You know, when Easter happened many years ago, when Jesus came out of the tomb, there wasn't a whole lot of people, you know. If you really come down to think of it, there was the women who came to that tomb, and then came John, and then came Peter, and then brought the message back to the rest of the apostles, but there wasn't a lot there. So we may not have a lot because our church is empty like so many others, but thank God that He's alive, and this message is going out over the internet, Facebook, YouTube, and we're thankful to God that He is alive. Let that excitement grab your heart. He's alive. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, bless now as we're about to be dismissed. Bless the Word of God, which we heard today and was given. Help those who just received Jesus as their Savior. Help them to begin to grow in their newborn faith. And dear Lord, help us as Christians never to lose our excitement. Always to remember that He's alive when we pray. He's alive when we live. He's alive when we serve. He's alive. And bless the Silver Lake Baptist Church as we're a witness into this dark nation. And may Your name be glorified, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You. You are alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.